Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second, that's one of the most prestigious honors a chef can receive. So if you're looking for great barbecue, you know where to go. Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, visit TNLottery.com.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's radio.com cash time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
Code word this hour is tone. You can text the word tone, T-O-N-E, to 72881. You have up until 12 noon to text the word tone, T-O-N-E, to 72881. And you can win $1,000. We're giving away $1,000 an hour with radio.com cash. This hour's word is tone, T-O-N-E. Text tone to 72881. Good luck. You have until noon, and we'll have another cash word coming up at noon here on the Jason and John Show.
We're brothers. We're happy, and we're singing, and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to October 22nd. John Martin, it's your Tuesday, the second Tuesday, the second day of the week, and we're motoring on through. And we've got something to look forward to tonight, obviously, with the NBA tipping off. Now, Grizzlies in action starting it off tomorrow night. But it officially gets underway tonight. John Martin, Lakers, Clippers, which side of it are you on?
I will go with the Clippers. I will go with the Clippers. If you're asking me to pick between the LA teams, I'll
LeBron
say.
LeBron hater you are. That's why you
no,
did that,
I'm
isn't
not,
it?
I'm not a LeBron hater, as you know, but I mean, did I lose some respect for him over the last couple of weeks? Absolutely, I have. There's no doubt about that. But I kind of want to see it. Like, I want to see it first and see how it looks. Kawhi Leonard's coming off an NBA championship. So I will go with the Clippers.
Pelicans and Raptors first.
Yes.
And as you know, unfortunate for Pelicans fans. They already knew Zion was going to be out. Now they know how long. Six to 8 weeks. Meniscus. My gosh. John, you know, I've been asking the question, if you bought season tickets, if you're a Pelicans fan, how concerned are you? You find out yesterday after we're off the show, he's going to miss 6 to 8 for a torn meniscus. Got to have surgery for it. My gosh. I mean, if that's not a red flag on this guy's career, I don't know what is. Hopefully for the Pelicans, he gets back nice and healthy. But right now, you got to look at it. We were touching on this as an opportunity for John Morant to get off to a nice start when it comes to the possibility he could win Rookie of the Year. So, Ja Morant, hey, go get it, because you're looking at Zion possibly missing, 18, maybe 20 games, maybe more than that. We'll see. But Ja Morant hopefully gets off to a good start, maybe can sort of take that Rookie of the Year, at least early on, take that push by the throat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So it is opening night technically in the NBA. That Raptors-Pelicans matchup is gross.
Well, it is more so now.
Ugh. Yeah. I just have no, I have like no interest in that game at all. And that's the way it goes, right? It's unfortunate with that. And that's the impact of injuries, right? I mean, that's the impact, you know, and that's something that the NBA has, you know, tried to fight back with. Obviously, they you know, Zion Williamson tore his meniscus. There's nothing you can do about that. But load management and you know, things like that, I mean, that's something that the NBA has fought with for a long time. And I suspect ratings will not be good. I suspect ratings tonight will not be very good for that game. You know, I mean, it's just like,
not for that one.
Yeah.
Imagine they're tuning in for the second game though, even with it being late.
Right. That's the only thing you got your balance there, is that it's what you, but at any rate, it is technically opening night. Grizzlies, of course, don't play until tomorrow, but the NBA does get underway officially tonight. We have a big show planned for you today. At 11:25, we're going to be joined by the Memphis football coach. He is the man of the hour, Mike Norvell. We will talk to him. You know, listen, it's great to be in the position that they're in, right? It is incredible. In many ways, they are in a position that they've never been in before, and that is just to be as close as they are to having, you know, the program and the city featured like it feels like they are. You know, the fact that all of their dreams are legitimately still alive. You know, but it's also, I would imagine, for Mike, pretty tough right now because it's not SMU week yet. You know, like it's not, hey, we get a chance to knock off undefeated SMU time yet. It's Tulsa week, you know? And so, like, is it like the week before Christmas where you're just trying to get through that last week of work? You know what I mean? And production probably goes all the way down. And Mike Norvell's trying to avoid that. So we will talk to him about how he goes about doing that. The season that Kenny Gainwell continues to have. We'll ask him about Patrick Taylor's health, but lots to get to with Absolutely. Mike Norvell. We will do that at 11:25. But 12:25, Clay Trav's going to join us like he does every single Tuesday. We will talk to him about the NBA. We will talk to him about when he'll get in for game day when it comes to Memphis in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to him about Jeremy Pruitt and sort of yanking the face mask of Jared Garantano. So we'll do all that at 12:35. And then at 1:25, you know, it is opening night in the NBA, Jason, and I know that's exciting to some people. But for our purposes on this show, today will be a day of reckoning.
Oh, yeah?
Today will be a day where those who have cast aspersions, those who have expressed publicly their skepticisms and their doubts about this Memphis basketball team, today is the day that we call those people to the carpet.
You're speaking specifically of our 125 guest.
And we are speaking specifically of our 125 guest. I'm thinking today we take off the belt and we snap it twice.
Oh.
I think
see what you did.
I think it's time we take off the belt and we snap that thing twice.
Well, you're not snapping at a kid. No. Here's a grown man.
We're going to do it to not just one grown man, but two grown men today.
Okay.
At least. This is the beginning of the show. Who knows? That list could grow longer. But you know what happens when Jason Smith snaps his belt twice? It means somebody's about to get that ass whooped. And Rob Doster is going to join us at 1:25, and we will talk to him about Memphis basketball, and we will ask him why he is the way that he is at 1:25. So
I mean, would you give him an AP vote at this point with where he's got the Tigers?
No, it's irresponsible.
Show him that AP poll and
yes,
we'll see what he has to say.
I would take away if he does have an AP vote, I would take it away.
I mean, you talk about somebody else should be up for the first poll of tax.
Yes.
From GP.
No doubt about it. I mean, just criminal. Just criminally low does he have the Memphis Tigers.
Now that you've got the AP poll, which is sort of it's everybody's got their vote in. You've got something to bounce it off of. So we can ask Rob what he thinks about it.
Now, we mentioned it was a day of reckoning today. And you brought this to my attention. You know my mission for the next, I don't know. I mean, I won't have to do it much longer. Like my job, you know, my term will end, right? My term will end very soon. But my job over the last month or two and going over the next couple weeks has been to, first of all, make sure that people are giving the Memphis basketball program appropriate respect, right? And that they are
your life's work, LeBlake.
That they are not underestimating or overlooking what Memphis has done, what they've brought in. Let me remind all of you who are listening today that Memphis has the number one recruiting class in 2019. That consists we think, of the number one player taken in the next NBA draft in James Wiseman, and a lottery pick in Precious Achiuwa, and based on sort of the buzz around the facility over the summer, possibly another one and done in Damian Ball. Or it could be Boogie Ellis. Or it could be DJ Jeffries. Like, there's probably a third one and done in there somewhere if we do what they think they are going to do this year. Yet, for some reason, and I just don't understand what is so hard about this. I don't understand why it's so hard for people to just look at the Tigers basketball program and acknowledge that this is not like any other situation that we've seen in recent memory in college basketball. It is different. You don't have programs like the University of Memphis who wander around in the doldrums, who wander around the wilderness for 5-6 years, who go without being ranked.
That's a good point. Come back with a bang.
And then they just wake up and have the number one recruiting class. Mm-hmm. So what I would tell anybody is that, yeah, if there was a program out there like DePaul who was unproven and hadn't really done anything since the 80s and the 90s or whatever, and they just one day wake up with a solid recruiting class, sure, you can have skepticism and you can have doubt. But we're not talking about a solid recruiting class. We're not talking about a top 25 recruiting class. We ain't even talking about a top 5 recruiting class. We're talking about the best, the number one class. Kentucky's looking up. Duke is looking up. Kansas is looking up. Everybody's looking up at the University of Memphis's recruiting class. Yet, why the doubts? Why? And again, like, I'm not saying everybody has to say that Memphis is going to win the national championship. I'm not saying that. I understand that. I understand that Michigan State is the prohibitive favorite. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why you brought it to me today. Ken Pomeroy, who is he's not a prognosticator, right? Like, he's not a he doesn't really do opinions. He doesn't really he's a math guy, right? He's a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. And his formula has basically spit out the University of Memphis in 2019-20. What are they ranked coming in per his formula?
He's got them at 50th right now. 50th to, I mean, and again, to 50? Your point, it's about the math. And so in this case, much of it's going to be, there's not much math to go on, right? I mean, because you've got so many freshmen, as John talked about, you're talking about the number one class. But to the point that you're making, that 50, yeah, I mean, yes, a team that's number 14 in the AP poll. And we're talking about whether it's time, right? You've heard others discuss it, whether it's time to start kind of walking it back. Are the expectations too high? And a lot of it based on the math here. But yet you're also talking about, John, they've got Cincinnati at 27, Houston at 29. And so, again, what I would tell you, so much of this based on last year and the math from last year, because when you've got a team that's got as many freshmen on it as Memphis, hard to plug them in, John, with any kind of knowing how they're going to perform. You understand what I'm saying? And so from that standpoint, I mean, the idea that you're walking it back based on where this is right now, I think you're talking yourself into stuff you don't need to.
Does anybody realize how ridiculous it sounds for us to even ask the question or entertain the question or even consider walking back expectations? Like, does anybody have
to your point again? Much of this is math and based in math.
Well,
yes,
you know what?
Rather than
have you used math? Have you used any of the math that you learned past like basic addition and subtraction?
Well, I don't occasionally division. I don't today in my 43-year-old day to day life. I balance the checkbook and that's about it.
I mean, algebra. Like, do you use that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Been a minute.
You don't use it. So math, basic math, okay. But advanced math, you know, and the stuff that you took in college, for some reason, you don't use that anymore. And so math, to
I've
me—
I've kind of allowed Ken to do my math for me here the last couple of years.
My point is, math can be useless. Mm. Math can tell a story that's wrong. And I would ask this question.
Or can miss the outlier sometimes.
Well, has Kentucky ever come into a season ranked 50th when they had the number one recruiting class?
Probably not. And that's
has Duke ever come into the season ranked number 50th when they had the number one recruiting? I can tell you without ever. I don't subscribe. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to anything, let alone KenPom. Okay, mm-hmm. And I can tell you without even being subscribed to that that ain't never happened. It ain't never happened. Because it would look stupid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because people would, across the country, people would say, KenPom's computers have Duke 50th. It just doesn't stand to reason.
But we've seen this before with these sort of efficiency ratings,
yes,
these sort of math-based ratings, where at the beginning of the season they tell you, I mean, you could put some stock into this thing if you want to, but I'm sorry, I'm not putting any stock in a prediction that has Memphis going 11-7 in the AAC.
Yeah.
I can't. And much of that, again, based in the math and what teams did last year. This is a number one ranked recruiting class. John just went down the map. What we've said, you would have to seriously blow it,
yeah,
we think, this year. To go 11-7 in the AAC, I would say, excuse me, I'm raising my hand, would be blowing it this year. They've got 10 losses. KenPom's got them projected at 21-10 through 31 regular season games. And again, I'm telling you that with a pause here. Listen, it's math based.
Yep.
But why would you, again, want to lower expectations based on something where you can't quantify what these freshmen are bringing to the table?
You can't.
You see what I'm saying? You know,
this is not Tubby Smith's recruits, right? This is not Tubby Smith's freshmen.
But it is odd to your point about, and again, it's based in math, so you'd have to look at Kentucky and their usual finishes in Duke, that you get to a year where they've got the number one recruiting class. John, any other team that bring them in, and we've seen the last 10, 11 years, it's just been two teams, Kentucky and Duke, they would not be ranked 50th. They would absolutely not be ranked that low. And so, again, it feels like you sort of, even with the math and like we've laid out, it still feels like it comes down that Memphis bias gets in. That said, I'm sure Pomeroy would tell you this is the – look, he'd tell you the same thing. That they can't, you can't compute how good these freshmen are going to be, but my gosh, can't you use a little bit of
right,
brain power here,
right,
and know that it's going to be better than this?
If I believe Arkansas, he has 44th. Arkansas has like a sub 150 ranked recruiting class that they brought in, and Muss might do a good job there. I don't know. I will get, if Memphis finishes 50th or worse in the KenPom, in the final KenPom rankings, I will go to Trilogy and get Ken and Pom tattooed on each of my ass cheeks and run down Highland. Okay? Like I will.
Oh, my,
like,
Lord.
That is how confident.
I'm going to let you have that one.
That is how confident,
wow,
I feel.
You're going to Trilogy for that, huh?
That is how confident, man, I feel about this Memphis basketball team.
Ooh.
Like, I don't think. And again, I understand that this is not KenPom writing like some editorial. Like, I understand he's not,
right,
you know, writing for the
plug in the numbers is what the math tells you, but math seems off.
But sometimes, like analytics, are, to me, are to help inform, right? To help or reinforce an opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
To confirm to not confirm maybe a bias or a thought that you may have, and I think in this situation, you have to use a little common sense. And I know that might come as like blasphemy to somebody whose career revolves around mathematics and numbers. And again, I think there is value in KenPom rankings. Like, I'm not trying to say that there's not. But I feel like in this specific situation, like, for us to inject any kind of real meaning into this projection is foolish. You know, do I think they're going to run the table? No, I don't think they're going to run the table. Do I think they're going to, you know, run roughshod through the AAC like it's 2008 Conference USA? No, I don't. Like, I think there are really good coaches in this league, and I think there are some solid teams in this league. But do I think that Memphis is going to be more talented than every single team it plays in their regular season this year? No question about it. And give me that.
Yeah.
And give me that. And I mean, 10 losses and 7 losses in the conference? Like,
10 losses overall, 7 losses.
I mean, this feels like Andy Katz projections. Like, 7 teams going to the tournament from the AAC.
I feel bad for your cheeks if there was a debacle here. I feel awful for him.
So
would you stick to that is the question.
What I want Ken Pomeroy to do, I want Ken Pomeroy to do just one very simple thing, okay? I want him to take his formulas, take them. I want him to take his algorithms, Jason, his predictive algorithms. I want him to take his math and his arithmetic, and then I want him to shine them all up real nice.
Oh.
I want him to shine them up real nice.
Oh.
Make sure they look good. Make sure they're gleaming, right? Make sure they're glistening. And then I want him to turn those some bitches sideways and stick them straight up his candy ass.
Wow.
That's what I want Ken Pomeroy to do with his numbers.
Well, you don't believe in this math at all, then,
throwing
John.
The baby out of the bathwater. I got no use.
Wow.
I got no use. Day of reckoning.
You were passionate this morning.
No, I mean, I just think, like, at some point, 50th.
This is what I there is value in telling each other right now before this season starts, and Memphis got his first exhibition game on Thursday, to say, hey, to remind us all, right, that, man, we got some big dreams this year. There's no doubt about it. Penny Hardaway's got us all geeked up and hyped up, but this team's young. And there's some value in that, right? Leonard Draper Sr. told us that, right? Is be careful with the expectations here. You don't want to place too much on too early. So there's some real value there, right? Keeps you from getting, as we like to say, on the big head. Mm-hmm. It's like it keeps you from doing that. But the idea, John, that you're walking it back this much, right, or telling people that maybe, hey, you should worry about 7 losses in conference or 10 losses overall, John, to me, that seems like getting scared. That seems like, to me, hey, it's getting close with Precious Achiuwa. You start talking yourself into he's not coming. You know what I'm saying? Getting scared for no reason is the point, despite what your eyes tell you.
Absolutely.
Right, and what the data tells you and what the folks are telling you behind the scenes. You all know that Memphis has got better than a 27% chance right now to beat Tennessee up in Knoxville this season. At least Memphis fans, I think any reasonable one would tell you right now. And I think most reasonable Tennessee fans would even tell you that right now. They don't feel like right now they've got a 27 or better percent chance a 75% chance to beat you in a Memphis team that's coming up there, right? They're still, John, they've got talent, but they don't have the same cohesion. It is a new team.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's a Memphis team that's bringing in the number one recruit class. So I'd tell you, Tennessee fans wouldn't tell you they've got that high a chance to beat Memphis up there.
Yep.
So, again, there is – John, I want to kill it. There's value in KenPom because I've used it. Covering the Tigers there, when it comes to tempo, that
pace,
kind of thing, efficiency, pace,
adjusted
that kind of thing.
Adjusted stuff.
Especially, John, after you get – on into the season where the data starts to come out.
Exactly.
Where
these things get a picture.
Exactly. The chips start to fall. I'm with you on this. Early on, this has no meaning. Because I'm telling you, if you're into the season telling folks or telling yourself, man, Memphis is ranked, KenPom's got him 50 at the start of the year, I need to start pulling back my expectations. No, what, man, maybe just may even make it to the tournament is a good thing for this team. No. Listen to what you've to your heart, what it's telling you. Listen to what we've been telling you. Look, go again.
Listen,
read
the
bios of that number one recruiting class.
Attendance for the pro day.
This feels like you've gotten close here, and now people are getting scared. There's no reason to do that.
Exactly.
Penny Hardaway's assembled what appears to be a pretty monster squad. There's no doubt about it. And you do not see this. The point that you made to start this whole off, and maybe this is why folks are getting a little scared. You don't see this at other pro. DePaul doesn't do this. Teams that have been down 4 or 5 years don't come back with this kind of bam, right? And so maybe that's got, as we're close here, maybe that's got a, well, it does take a little bit of time to build a program. Penny's shown that you can do it quicker than that here in a unique environment. And again, I don't think it's time to start running away because we're getting close to it.
Yeah, so anyway, Day of Reckoning continues, but Ken Pomeroy is the latest that we got to add to this list, unfortunately.
Yeah, they won't go 11-7 in the AAC.
Isn't that what they went last year, 11-7 in the league? I'm pretty sure that's what they went last year.
Don't get me. I can look that up fast though.
But I mean, it was around that. Like that was the around the same record. So they're gonna have. We think they're gonna have
11-7.
So we think they're gonna have the same record.
Beat Tulane, UCF, lost to
in a conference when they're so much better than everybody else, and the conference gets worse. We think they're gonna have the same record. Like where they do that at? Like
he gave them. They finished last year 56. He gave them 6 spots up to 50. To start
well, thanks. All we had to do was get the number one recruiting class in the city of Memphis for 6 spots. My God.
This becomes useful later on. I'm with you.
Again, course correction coming. Course correction coming. Like, I mean, biblical proportions, Jason. Anyway, we will come back. Mike Norvell going to join us. We will talk to him about his football program. We will talk to him about obviously the win over the weekend, how nice it was to get that one, and just sort of how he keeps his focus and how he keeps the team's focus when – you know, everything seems possible like it does now. We will do that when we come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Radio.com Cash is coming up at 12 noon. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and every romance isn't the same, is it?
Well, just like every romance is different, every diamond is different, and that's what makes them unique and special, and that's why they're the ultimate symbol of love.
And you have all these different choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
Along with about 300 to 400 different engagement rings that are ready-made, ready to go. You can pick your own diamond at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can pick your own setting. We can put it together for you. So when you get down on one knee, she's going to give you a big yes.
And you have new choices in diamonds at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
It's called altar-created diamonds. And what those are, unlike traditional diamonds that are mined out of the earth, these are grown in a greenhouse.
So what's the difference?
It's chemically, optically, physically exactly the same. The only difference is it's 30% less expensive, so you can get a bigger, brighter diamond.
You've done it again, Howie.
No. You've done it again.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is still the best place to get engaged.
And remember, we've got free financing, and we've got something for anybody's budget. 4 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
How you doing, people? And if you're in the market for a new Chevy car, truck, or SUV, new or pre-owned, see my guys at All Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. They will treat you like a star. It's simple as ABC. A is the All Star Challenge to beat any written offer from any Mid-South dealer, or they buy you a tank of gas. B, better buying experience. They value your time and make it quick. C, customer care. They want you to be an All Star family member for this car or truck and all the other ones you'll ever need. And before you head to All Star and Olive Branch, check out the inventory at allstarautogroup.com. Silverados, Equinox, Traverse, Impala, Camaro. They have all you ever need with the best Chevy lineup ever. So don't go to Collierville, the Pike, or South Haven. Find new roads to Olive Branch and All Star Chevrolet. Minutes from anywhere in Memphis, or go to allstarautogroup.com. Just mention you heard about them on this station and you'll get a Malco movie gift card when you test drive any All Star Chevy you want.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mike Norvell is the coach of the University of Memphis football program. Big weekend for them, big weekend and a big win for them over the weekend against Tulane. He joins us now. Coach Norvell, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Everything is good here. Congrats, on our side of things. Coach, when you were recruiting Kenneth Gainwell, I mean, did you have any idea that it would happen this quickly for him?
Oh, honestly, we really did. We wasn't saying that he'd be the only player in FBS to have 100-yard rushing, 200-yard receiving in a game. I think Ken is his redshirt freshman year. That's pretty incredible. But we knew we had a special player in Kenny when we recruited him, and it's been a lot of fun watching his development. He's maximized every opportunity, and it was unfortunate when Patrick went down, but to see the maturity that he's shown and being the go-to guy and living up to that to the moment, and you're really making the most of it. Has been something pleasing from our coaching staff, and really great for that young man.
What is that? What do you look for, Coach? I mean, because you've had so much success with it, right? With your running backs, a lot of positions, frankly. But seriously, you got D'Angelo Williams saying, "Look at us, we're running back you right now." What particularly do you look for in guys that you've had the success rate?
Well, any time you can find versatility in that position is something that is challenging. And we play multiple backs in the game at the same time. And you find a guy like Kenny, Tony Pollard, Daryl Henderson had great hands out of the backfield. Patrick Taylor, I mean, those guys they have a unique skill set. And then once we get them here, it's all about putting them in a position to be showcased. And that's what my job is. And we've had guys that they come in and they work extremely hard. The mental aspect of it is something that is challenging because we ask them to do so much. But on the flip side of it, it makes them the complete back. And that's why you see guys, that whenever they're done here at Memphis, they're going on and having success there at the next level because of the work that they put in during their experience here. And, I tell them all the time, I mean, you come and you play in this offense, and we're not going to let any of your talent slide by. We're going to try to maximize every skill that you have and make sure that the country gets to see it.
Yeah, I was going to ask that exact question, Mike, because I can only imagine how much this helps you in recruiting, because I think everybody in the country said after you lost Daryl Henderson and Tony Pollard, like, how are they going to come back from doing that? And then you come back, your answer is possibly with two more NFL running backs. How much does this help you, when you're in those living rooms with those running backs? I imagine all you have to do is just put on some tape.
Well, and that's what I tell the recruits. They need to see it. I mean, everybody can give you a sales pitch of what they want to do with you or how you're going to change the program, but I want to show them what we've done with guys with similar skill sets. And it's not just the running back position. You know, same thing was said whenever Anthony Miller left. You know, the same thing was said with Alan Cross leaving. And who's going to be the next guy that steps up and makes his mark? And you're able to see that at each position. At DeMonte Cox, Joey Magnifico, like we're talking about with all the different running backs, guys mm-hmm. on the offensive line, defensive players. It's something that we take a great deal of pride in, is developing players and showcasing their skills. And at the end of the day, it's about being able to show those guys what we've done and how they can bring their skill and help elevating our program.
Coach, how gratifying was that win over the weekend? Obviously, you come back from a very controversial ending of the game before, and I mean, just from in all phases of the game, you just dominate from basically kickoff. How gratifying was that one to get for you and your guys?
It was a great win, and I was really, really proud of our guys in their response. You know, Tulane is an outstanding football team. I mean, it was one of the most explosive offenses in the country coming in, and we were able to get after them, made them uncomfortable by the way we attacked. I thought our guys really flew to the football. Offensively, that was a complete performance as we've had. You know, we had great balance with the run game, and we're able to hit some big plays in the passing game over the top. I thought Brady played his best game as a Tiger. Our offensive line did a remarkable job to not give up a sack. I think Brady actually only got touched one time in the game. Mm-hmm. I thought they were phenomenal. And then, receivers showed up in so many big situations, third down catches, extending drives. I mean, it was it was an outstanding performance. And then anytime you have your special teams that was able to dominate the field position like we did, I mean, Adam Williams had another 70-yard punt one of the few times that we did have to punt, and we had three huge returns, and our coverage units were outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it going into the season that the position group we thought you had the most question marks around was your offensive line. You just touched on it. You know, but Brady he barely got touched, and you talked about the holes they've opened up for the running backs. I mean, this was an offensive line, what, Coach? They had to replace three guys, three starters. It was a whole lot. You know, you talked about the new look to it. Their development, you must be awfully pleased with throughout this season.
I am, and it was really four guys playing new positions.
Four
I mean, because
yep.
even Dustin Woodard had to move into
center.
And, and so that's something that it's a challenge. And those guys, they have to buy into coming to work each and every day. And we haven't been perfect. There's been a lot of things that even the other night there was with all the good that was done. There's still a lot of areas that we need to improve. But you have a group that's hungry, and they're I think we got a great offensive line coach and Ryan Silverfield that pours into those guys. We try to run schemes that can help show showcase their ability and put them in a good position to be successful. But at the end of the day, they've got to put in the work. And so I'm really pleased with some of the steps I've seen them take. And we're excited about the second half of this year.
We are, of course, talking to Memphis football coach Mike Norvell here on the show. Coach, I know the talk around town, it's picked up. The talk around the country has picked up as people are obviously picking up on what Memphis football is doing. Game day, that word has been thrown around. Do you think about that at all, or do you just strictly tune it out? How do you tune it out? Where are you on sort of all of the all of the pageantry that comes with having a good year in college football?
Well, it's something you're hopeful for. I mean, you want to be a part of a program that when you have success, when you play at a high level, that people across the country are taking notice of. And so to say that I totally block it all out, I mean, you hear the talk. I mean, that when it came out yesterday that that our game was selected for the six-day choice, what comes with that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all that we can control is what we do here this Saturday and how we prepare, how we work. I was asked the same question a week ago of man, how do you get a team to respond after a loss like we had in Philadelphia? And it's the same answer. You stay focused on things you control. You go back to work. You improve. You get better, and you put your best effort on the field when you get the next opportunity. And so, that's all that we can control. But proud and excited that what Memphis football, what that stands for, and our brand across this country, because it's something we work extremely hard for. And I'm honored to lead this program. I'm honored to coach young men that we have and be with the coaches that we have helping assist these guys maximizing their dreams.
First things first, Coach, I've been telling John that Tulsa's it feels like is close to breaking through. That yeah, they've lost three straight, and I think it's four out of five, but they should have beaten SMU, and they outgained Cincinnati this past weekend. I think it was the turnovers. I know you know that really did them in. How good's that team? Obviously, the record's, you know, 2-5. It doesn't look that good maybe on the surface, but that team that you're playing, everybody's hype about a couple of weeks from now, Coach, but how important is this one?
Oh, it's going to take all of our focus and effort here this week. This is a good football team, and it's one, like you mentioned, I mean, the Cincinnati game, I mean, they were moving the ball up and down the field. They were doing a good job in all phases, but then they had, you know, some untimely turnovers that gave Cincinnati a short field, and they were weren't able to kind of overcome that hump. You know, the SMU game, it was 30-9, going into the fourth quarter, and they made some critical mistakes down the stretch, and SMU was able to capitalize on those. But at the end of the day, this is a team that's very capable, and you go through their entire season, and you can see this is a team that is right there on the brink from making a huge jump, and we've got to do everything in our power to make sure that doesn't happen this week.
Coach, how do you know if your team's ready on the road? Right at home, you know, everything's comfortable, right? You're doing the Tiger Walk, everybody's comfortable. You probably got before a game, you got a pretty good feel about how your team's feeling. But on the road, can you look in your eyes and tell and the differences between playing and that comfortability factor? How big is it when you're on the road and try to make sure guys are in their right minds?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that we try to keep as much carryover as we can, whether we're at home or on the road. And obviously, you don't have the support of your fans when you get to the stadium. There's some things that are there to probably distract you as more than anything else. But you can tell how guys are approaching every aspect of it. Going to get on the plane, what's their mindset? The night before meetings, the game day, pregame meal. What our pregame looks like. I mean, all those things I look at factor in, and I have to make sure that I'm giving my sparks where I can to make sure that everything's locked in and focused to the best of our ability. But it's on our players. They take a great deal of pride in what we do and what we're called to do, and so it really comes down to each man's responsibility of going out there and performing to their personal best.
Coach, you think Patrick Taylor's close? When will you know and how close?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's very close. I mean, he was out. We just got off the practice field. He got more work today than what he's had these last few weeks. And he's just building in that confidence. I'm not going to put a young man on the field that's not ready to go and be able to play the game to the best of his ability. Being confident in his return. And so I think we're really, really close. We'll see how it progresses here this week. But he's definitely a real option for Saturday.
Hey, Coach, we know you're very busy,
you,
man.
Sir.
We appreciate the time, as always. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and go Tigers.
Yes, sir.
He is Mike Norvell, University of Memphis football coach, the man of the hour right now in the city of Memphis.
A couple things
that I wanted to touch on. One, just from that recruiting perspective, it is amazing that, and you mentioned it yesterday, they have Granberry coming in, and they have some others too.
He's a little home run hitter too.
Must be very easy for them. Not easy, but it must be like it's a simple pitch, because you just say, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at Daryl Henderson, look at Tony Pollard, look at Patrick Taylor, look at Kenneth Gainwell. Like, you want to get the ball, you want to do both, you want to catch and pass, you want to catch and run. This is where you can do it, and we'll put you in a situation where, you're going to have a chance to have 100 yards on the ground. You're going to have a chance to have 200 yards through the air. That's the way we use our running backs at Memphis. Must be one of the easiest things for them to do.
Yeah, I think the, Giannotto has got a column. It's pretty good over at commercialspiel.com. I suggest you go read it over on Gainwell, sort of how he got to this point. And he made the point to the question that you asked about recruiting. Mike said it, right? You can show him the tape.
Yeah.
Better than the actual pitch,
yeah.
Right? When I can show you what Daryl Henderson's done, when I can show you how versatile Tony Pollard was and how you're going to use these skills in our offense. And that was the thing. I think it was Lanning that was his primary recruiter,
yep.
And then Lanning,
yep,
goes on.
Yes,
and then
does.
you still had, because Norvell's still here, obviously, you still got Kenneth Gainwell saying, well, despite Lanning, who I've got this close relationship with, leaving, I still want to be at Memphis because I know that's where they're going to, they do their running backs right there. That's where I'm going to be able to show off my skill. That's what you want, to your entire point. So I you're right. The pull out there with my, I thought you touched on something with him. It's almost better to go to these living rooms with the, with the DVD in your hand, with the film on your phone in your hand. Hey, you forget me talking about what our running backs do. Check this out.
Probably not a DVD. Probably like a flash drive.
Well, in case you want to leave it with them.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you could do that too.
I realize, John, you're trying to get me for DVDs. Those times have passed.
And well, they have.
Maybe so.
Do people still buy DVDs?
Been phased out.
People don't do that anymore, right?
What?
I mean, like,
I'm not talking about deep, but do they buy them? Of course they still buy them.
Okay.
Don't they?
I mean, I don't really buy that many.
See, I used to get DVDs of highlight tapes. Now, it used to be the VHS. You come a long way. Then,
oh, well, yeah, we know that.
You'd get the DVD or the highlight tape or whatever, stick it on in.
Yeah.
You telling me nobody does DVD highlight tapes? Give me a break.
People buy Blu-rays. I know that. People do buy Blu-ray DVDs. But, like, I do feel like we're getting to the point now where DVDs will be phased out in 3-4 years. I mean, people just buy everything on their smart TVs or their, you know, or their you know, PlayStations or whatever. You know, people don't, you know, that's just the way of the future, man. It just, like, takes up less space because you don't have to worry about the case. I know, like, Bennett. If you go to Bennett's house, Bennett has, like, 5 miles of DVDs. They're all Disney, of course. Like, they're all, you know, they're all Lion
King.
That's
going to be worth some
Princess
money.
Princess and the Frog, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, Peter Pan, you know, that's what they all are. But, it takes up a lot of space, you know what I mean? Like, it takes, like, a whole wall of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's unnecessary.
I mean, it's a fantastic collection that he's got. You realize there's real value there.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody, I mean, I guess, I'm sure there is. I hope for his sake there is because, you know, he's a father and, you know, someday, you know, you probably will have to do something with those. But, yes, also the other thing he mentioned that I thought was interesting, Patrick got some more work in today than he's gotten in the last, the last few weeks. So that sounds like he's getting really close. And again, it's like a luxury, though. It's like you don't need him. You know, you'd love to have them, and you want them, but you don't. It's not like a situation where you need them, and so that is you can kind of let him progress at his own pace.
Said when this happened, and it's just funny it's played out this way because again, you know, maybe he could have gotten out there early. You heard Norvell say he's not going to put him out there before Patrick's comfortable. But we said when he went down, this could be a deal where you're looking at him not coming back until early November, and maybe for that SMU game. Well, maybe he's back a game before. You heard Norvell; he sounded really optimistic. Again, as John pointed out, with the more work he's been able to do in practice this week, he could get out there. But to John's point, if you can get past Tulsa without him and sort of unveil him against SMU, why not sit him out another week? Now to that point, I don't think John believes it, but I do, and it sounds like Norvell does too. This Tulsa team is better than that record indicates. So, you know, saying, hey, this one should be pretty easy, I stopped short of that. But I think, you know, with the way that Kenneth Gainwell is running the ball, you could conceivably get past with the way you're playing football right now. You can get past Tulsa without him, right, without him. And so maybe you do save him for SMU to the point Patrick Taylor's all the way over to yeah. early November.
And
know,
then
early on when you're hoping to get him back quickly.
And then we asked him specifically about game day. We asked him sort of about, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you handle it? And you know what? Like, I kind of expected him to say, we don't think about those kinds of things. We're just focused on Tulsa. But he didn't. Like, he said, hey, this is what you are in this business for. This is why you're supposed to be doing what you do, you know, to get there and to have your program profile and to have, you know, be featured and get that national stage. You know, he really, that's about as good as it's going to get in terms of embracing, you know what I mean? Embracing that possibility. I thought he fully did.
Yeah, well, it is, it's week to week with them. You want to go 1-0, of course, but they're not, I mean, John, they're not robots. You know, Silverfield said that to us last week. Like, it's not like they don't go out and watch tape of their opponent that's 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
Just because it's the week of another opponent. Like, they're not robots in that sense. Of course they know what's going on. Of course they saw the Herb Street tweet. Of course you see once you've got the sort of flex, right? You got the option to be on 6:30 or not. They know what's up at stake. And so yes, we appreciate the honesty. But again, I don't think it's too hard to preach here with how close Tulsa's come in some of their last games that, look, guys, you can't overlook this one. I think in this case, because of the way Tulsa's played, right, that you can convince them. Because of what's ahead, you can say, hey, this one's one that you can't pass up. Because it's a road game, guys got to be focused anyway.
Right.
Hopefully they're listening to Mike on this one because, again, you don't want any letdowns in terms of setting this thing up. SMU's at Houston, Memphis at Tulsa. You want both teams to win so this thing could really go down.
No question about that. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come. Clay Travis will join us at 12:25. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
John Morant, number 2 overall selection, comes to the foul line. Little step through move around Mahook is good with a little left-handed finger roll.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Anderson keeping the dribble. 9 on the shot clock. Gives right corner Jaren Jackson. Fires a catch and shoot 3 and he knocks it down. Bring it up. Put 3 on the board for Jaren Jackson Jr. as Anderson flipped it to him and there was no hesitation.
Young and hungry. The Memphis Grizzlies eat here. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now that you can get your favorite Chili's 3 for 10 meals delivered, anywhere can be your own personal Chili's. So?
Hi, welcome to my house.
Welcome to the meat lovers section of my in-laws vegan barbecue. Burgers, finally.
Welcome to my therapist's office, where it's okay to eat your feelings.
and quesadillas.
Welcome to Chili's Delivery. Order online at chilis.com/delivery and get all your favorite 3 for 10 meals, like Cajun chicken pasta, delivered right to you wherever you are. At participating restaurants only. 3 for 10 not available via third-party platforms. Delivery fee supply.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
October is here. That means football, basketball, Halloween parties, lots going on. And whether you're on your couch or somebody else's, you might want to enjoy a drink. And if you're a vodka drinker, please allow me, Gary Parrish, to remind you to grab a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It is 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodka, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry. And check this out. New Amsterdam, they offer a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
You wouldn't use an 18-wheeler to teach your son how to drive. It's too big. And you wouldn't take a family road trip in his toy car. It's too small. But using the Mercedes-Benz Metris cargo van to run your business? Just right. Only the Metris can haul, stow, and tow more than any other van in its class. It has the maneuverability to get through the toughest jobs and fits in your garage, too. And now with 0% financing, it's built around your budget. Because if you can't picture your son behind the wheel of a monster truck or squeezing your family inside a 2-seat convertible, we don't blame you. The only thing you need to picture is where the Metris can take your business. The Mercedes-Benz Metris. With 0% financing and starting at $26,570, it's just right. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Metris Vans. Qualified commercial customers only. Offer valid through January 2nd, 2020.
You always test the water, don't you? Whenever you get into the shower or the bathtub, you always make sure the water is not too hot so you don't get burnt. And the same thing is true if you're thinking of selling your home. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Marks Bensdorf Realtors, celebrating 150 years in business. Back to the hot water. When you or someone you know is thinking of selling, make sure and test the water. Talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out not only what they think about your house and the price, but what they will do for you. And make sure that I am one of them. I have an award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with a Shellbucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Find out why people often say that when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Between the internet marketing, our nationwide relocation business, and the Shellbucks, you definitely need to call me at Shell Done Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and don't get burnt.
Life insurance. For most of us, it's not something we prioritize. Maybe because we don't want to think about a world without, well, us. About how our loved ones would fare should we no longer be around to take care of things like the mortgage, college tuition, grocery bills. But unfortunately, too many of us pass without securing the financial future of our families, which is why there's Ethos. Ethos is a new kind of life insurance company. It believes life insurance should be affordable and accessible for everyone. Ethos was founded by 2 college roommates who wanted to bring to life insurance the same technological efficiencies that have revolutionized so many other industries. Ethos can quickly provide the best policy for you and your family without doctor visits, long applications, and fine print. It can do in minutes what used to take weeks. So no more excuses. Ethos will bring you peace of mind by securing your family's future today.
Go to ethoslife.com now for your free estimate. That's ethoslife.com. ethoslife.com.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
What do we do now?
I pity the fool.
You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
This is happening. Me in my office on Monday. Project hanging over my head like an anvil. And the new guy, Rick, shows up.
Been thinking about your problem there, boss. The answer's Upwork.
I'm not sure about Rick, but now I'm on Upwork and I'm seeing all the freelance help I need. Creative directors, designers, PMs, all available now. Then I see something even better. Project delivered. With Upwork, this is happening.
People call me R-Dog.
Yeah, that's not happening, Rick.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
NBA opening night tonight. You got Raptors Pelicans in the first slate of games. Then you got Clippers and Lakers at 9:30. Both those games on TNT. Couple of injury developments that we need to touch on. Klay Thompson, according to Steve Kerr, is likely going to miss the season. Obviously, had you been listening to the show,
yeah, it looked like you're gonna be right about that.
Last week, I mean, I just feel like, you know, listen, him. It always felt like it was gonna be, even if he did come back, it wouldn't be until April. And at that point, like, do you really want to? You know, because you still have to get in game shape.
But I mean, Bob Myers had been, you know, had been pretty optimistic. He just felt like I thought he'd be back sometime in the spring. Anyway, Kerr says realistically that's out, probably unlikely is the way he put it. So
right.
It turns out you look like you're right. You have him out
God
the entire
is good,
season.
Brother.
And to that point,
guy is good.
What's the point of bringing him back in the spring when you've got, you know, a much improved West where the Clippers and the Lakers are obviously the favorites? Is bringing Klay back in the spring, right, fresh off the rehab, going to get you to a title? No. So
yeah,
you're probably better off, right, letting him continue to rehab, bringing back at full strength after a full year's recovery the next season. So it makes more sense from a strategic standpoint. Kerr didn't rule out, John, that he could get back if everything goes perfectly. But when you think about the why of it, it makes a lot of sense that you just sort of sit him out, you know, sort of give him the Durant treatment. He'll just be gone for this year. Put him in the cryo chamber.
Right, that is exactly right. Then you run it back in 2020.
There you go.
You know, now the other side of that, the injury development, Zion Williamson is not going to be playing tonight for the Pelicans. So you will get no Zion Williamson. You will get no debut from the dynastic rookie in Zion Williamson. Because he has a torn meniscus. He had arthroscopic surgery on his right knee to treat that torn meniscus on Monday afternoon. Now, this is a little bit more serious than we were initially led to believe. We were initially led to believe that it was just soreness. We were initially led to believe that he was just going to miss a period of a couple of weeks.
Then Woj gets that, right?
Shams got it first.
No, Shams got the actual 6 to 8 weeks, right?
Yes. No,
Woj got the period of weeks.
Yes,
but
not
a major injury.
Correct.
And then Shams got the actual meniscus tear
that
surgery in 6 to 8 weeks. I just found that story. I just wondered if Woj knew. Do we think Woj didn't know? Do we think the information at that point doesn't get
divulged? I have a hard
divulged?
Time believing that Woj
exactly.
didn't know.
It's like Woj withheld at that point, at least from the way that I just found that sort of that play in between sort of how it's covered and how the story's broken. I always find that fascinating. I think Woj knew then and could have said it, but was obviously trying to do some people some favors.
So this sucks.
I mean, and I don't know why when the information is going to get out at some point anyway, so I don't know what favor it really does you.
For the NBA, for the Pelicans, for New Orleans fans, this sucks. And honestly, I was thinking about this last night. Like, what if the Grizzlies would have won the lottery? You know, what if they had gotten lucky and won?
It would have been just our luck. I mean, we would have said this is Memphis luck right here.
Can you imagine how tragic it would have felt like to the city of Memphis?
Absolutely.
Like, that we finally get lucky and we get this freaking franchise changing generational superstar and he can't play. I mean, like, it would feel cruel. So maybe it was for the best for our psyches that we got number two and still got a really, really good player, potential superstar in John Morant. But, yeah, under this timetable. Yeah, exactly. Under this timetable, Zion is going to miss if he comes back on the shorter end of it, he'll miss about 20 games. If he comes back on the longer end, which, you know, I think with him, you're going to be cautious. Like, you're not rushing him back.
That makes the sense, but you also, too, man, you're trying to show folks that this isn't a problem. Everybody keeps saying minor, minor, minor. Look,
to hell with that.
It starts off minor. In terms of knees.
It's clearly major. I mean, he's missing 2 months, you know? It's clearly a major injury.
Once you go in there and you've had the meniscus surgery, you're more apt to have more later on. Obviously, there's no guarantee that your knees continue to be. But this is a guy that's had knee problems going back to his high school days. I mean, and you were super careful with him in summer league. There's no question about it. And after you drafted him, here you are. He's having to miss the first 6 to 8. It's to your point, whether he misses 20 games, whether it's on the higher end, 26, 28 games, it's an opportunity for Ja Morant. I just wanted to your point about, you know, Memphis luck. And look, this is up to Ja, too. We've talked about there's an opportunity here, right? If Zion's going to miss 19 to 26 games, there's a stat. Only 5 of the 70 Rookie of the Year winners have missed 15 or more games during the regular season still won it, okay? So if Zion's missing 15 or more, I mean, that's in jeopardy for him. So for Ja, yes, opportunity. He's going to have to be more aggressive offensively. There's no doubt about it. What I've been amazed by watching him, and it really is amazement, is that Brad and I were talking about this off air. He always makes the right decision, it feels like, when it comes to setting guys up. I know it's preseason, it's small sample size, but typically with point guards, you'll see them a lot of times trying to feel guys out. Well, where's that guy want the ball? He feels like he's been playing with each one of these guys 2-3 years already. That comes with high IQ, obviously, but there's also an innate ability there, John, what feels like a God-given vision there that he's got. Also, what's the other thing you got to teach point guards? How to change speeds.
Yep.
Remember Wade Baldwin around here?
You had to tell
the dude slow, because he's always playing so out of control. Had to tell him slow down. Yep. Mike Conley, he had to learn this too.
Yeah, he did.
You have to learn how to change speed. And it feels like this dude's already ahead of the curve when it comes to that.
Right.
All that said, that's the good that we've seen, clearly. It stood out like a sore thumb. The other part of it, though, if you're going to win this Rookie of the Year thing or get off to a good start and really get in people's minds, he's going to have to be a more aggressive offensively. There's no question about it. It's looked like he's made the right decision for the most part each time he comes down the floor, because most of that's been serving up other guys. He hasn't really gone out of his way yet to try to have a huge game offensively. If you're going to grab this thing by the throat, he's going to have to score some points. You figured it was coming anyway as you get there, because, again, this ball is going to be in your hands, John Morant. They're going to expect you. You know, you're going to have to score too. But, again, we're talking about Rookie of the Year, the opportunity here with Zion out.
Yep.
If he can score to go with the what looks like, you know, the 7 to 12 assists or whatever it's going to be in this rookie season, 6 to 12, whatever it's going to be, then you can hold off a guy like an R.J. Barrett who's going to be putting up numbers in New York, keep in mind, and who's already, listen, people already tell themselves, well, no Zion. Well, okay, R.J. Barrett, I saw him with Duke. He's a stud. He's going to put up numbers. People already probably tell him, and you'll see the numbers there. If Ja can be aggressive in both, I think he can hold off R.J. Barrett and continue to be the favorite all the way through the season.
Well,
R.J. going to put up numbers with the Knicks.
This is like a concrete rose, right? Like a rose comes from the ground, and it's Ja Morant, Rookie of the Year. You know, if that's what Zion Williamson missing 2 months, you know, if there's any good that could come out of it, right, you hate to see it. But again, though, like if Zion comes back after 20 games or whatever, and he's just awesome like he was in the preseason.
Not many of them do. There's only been 5 that have done that. But to your point, and it's Zion, you would say.
Like he'll still get the
nod.
He only
needed to do a look. You're still going to like, you know.
But it is, it does open it up. I mean, like you said, Ja Morant is the odds-on favorite right now.
Kyrie Irving missed 15 games as rookies, still won Rookie of the Year. Patrick Ewing's the one that missed the most. He missed 32 games and still got it. Now, I can't see Ewing still give it to Zion missing 32 games. No. To me, that feels like too much. That's almost half a season. But there's only been 5 guys that have, again, missed 15 or more games and still been Rookie of the Year. Zion, you feel like with the brand name star power, maybe. But if he's missing 26 to 30-something games, and again, the 30-something's getting on real high, and nobody thinks it's going to be that many. Ja Morant, come get your award. It's going, you know, you'll have a good chance. RJ obviously is going to put up numbers, and I like Darius Garland up in Cleveland, just because he's somebody y'all know I've watched since high school.
Yep.
Super high IQ, high pedigree. His transition will be a smooth one as well.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the latest. You hate to see that.
I mean, hate it for New Orleans fans.
Well, but, you know, in the NBA, like this, it's you know, you're trying to identify like that next generation of not star but superstar. You know. Like, I mean, and that's a different air.
I mean, New Orleans fans just had Anthony Davis tell them that's all, folks.
Yep,
you know what
did.
I mean? Like,
yes, he did.
Like I feel for other small market situations, and not that we're not all in the competition and all that. And when it's go time, you're certainly going to root against the Pelicans. But yeah, you can feel for them in the sense that they're in. That Davis didn't want to be there no more. You figured that was a pipe dream trying to keep him his whole career.
Right.
And you wonder too if that's just destiny for Memphis in terms of you want these guys to fall in love with the franchise, right? These rookies, Ja and Jaren in the second year to fall in love and play here their entire careers. But do we, you know, would you make a bet on it that they do?
Right.
You hope that's the case, but couldn't you see, you know, you don't want to be the Pelicans fan that sees Anthony Davis grows up, that sees Ja Morant grow up and then leaves, right? You want this thing to last forever. Yeah, so I feel for Pelicans fans that just lost Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They think they got a good thing, and it's already out for 6 to 8 weeks. So I feel for them, to your point, and I feel for the NBA because Lord knows I ain't watching Toronto and the Pelicans tonight.
I mean, that's
the world's
gross.
Watching that mess. Toronto, Kawhi-less. I mean, why are we even playing that one?
Yes. Can we just sim that one? Can we just like sim like a Madden game? Just sim that joint.
I mean, the NBA had high hopes for it. That is certainly so, but it's not gonna pay. Poor Mark. I mean, nobody's gonna be watching him play tonight. Are they gonna get the rings tonight?
I'm assuming
that game's at Toronto.
Yeah, I believe you're right on that one. But yes, it will be a tough watch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.